Most population experts say within 30 years, there'll be another 3 billion people on the planet. That's 8.5 billion mouths to feed. And their food will have to come from farmlands under increasing stress from soil erosion, desertification, global warming, water table contamination, and those ever-expanding cities. With population already running neck and neck with food production, many food and agriculture experts grow increasingly worried about providing enough food. But as pressure grows to increase production, so does a push to do it without repeating environmental damage from the chemical-based green revolution. Many agricultural scientists say a green revolution will be necessary. So far, examples are hard to come by, but there are a few. Sandy Tolan has this profile of one farmer in India who's used his unshakable faith to change the status quo.
In India, signs of faith are everywhere, random and surprising. In the capital, Muslims sit cross-legged and face Mecca, touching their foreheads to the earth. In the northern state of Punjab, turbaned Sikhs file silently around the reflecting ponds of the Golden Temple. In the south of India, Hindus enter a stone temple that stood for thousands of years, praying to Vishnu, while the cacophony of a horn plays on the walls of the inner sanctum. For many, faith is a way to accept one's lot in life, to make one's peace with fate. For others, it's a basis to change, even when everyone says what you're trying to do is impossible.
When I came to this farm, not a single tree existed. Now you see, coconuts alone are 2,000.
He's a short man, Manindra Pal, of slight build, and at 60, moving past middle age. But there's a power in his eyes. They hold you in their gaze. They give you the feeling he's learned something, something worth listening to.
If you grow a tree, if it is devoid of love, it perishes. Similarly, the animals that you grow. Besides producing food, you must take into consideration the spiritual aspect of life.
The spiritual aspect of life. These are not the words of a typical farmer, even in India, and probably not many outside the Sri Aurobindo ashram that owns the farm would even listen to these gentle words if it hadn't been for one thing, Paul's success in producing food. Here at Gloria Land, a 100-acre farm of rice paddy near the Bay of Bengal, Paul has accomplished what few farmers in the world have even dared to try, and many said could not be done. He's taken a highly productive farm, removed the chemical fertilizers and pesticides credited with making that high production possible, replaced them with organic material, and actually increased his annual yields.
Once upon a time, people used to call me a crazy fellow. But the fact it exists, so that nobody can deny the fact that it can be done. With high productivity, much higher. My yield is increasing every year.
Workers bend over in the hot sun. An old man in loincloth and turban separates the rice husk from the grain. The muscles in his back glisten. A woman in a purple sari, a load of chaff on her head, disappears into a 15-foot-high stack of hay.
Very happy in the sense that I have found the sense of life. I don't live for myself. I live for the earth. I live for all my brothers and sisters. And I try to do something which will be beneficial to the earth in general. And I am also having the body which is of the same element of this earth. And it will go back to the earth.
Manindra Pal did not come to all of this suddenly. 30 years ago, when the Green Revolution came to India with its promise of high production through chemical fertilizers and pesticides, Paul was eager to sign up.
I was the first participant of Green Revolution in India. And I was the most modern farmer. Anything new, I'll be the first person to grab it. I will move earth and heaven to get the seeds or get the fertilizer or chemicals. And I did that for 7 years.
But as his fields became an eerily silent place of producing chemically processed crops, a place devoid of all insects and birds, Paul became disturbed. And then one night, he literally got sick of the chemicals.
After spraying, I fell sick. I vomited profusely and developed fever. I went and had my bath in the evening. And the fish is floating dead. And when I go to the field, I found a few birds are lying dead. Some toads are lying dead. And that day, I revolted. I said, this cannot be.
This was not, Paul decided, what his faith had taught him about the purpose of human birth.
And I said, what am I doing? I am myself a farmer. I am producing food not only for myself but for the country and for my fellow brothers and sisters. And what will be the poisonous effect in the grains that I will be eating? So all these things, when I used to kill birds by spraying, you grow that way and you die.
So Paul decided he had to abandon chemicals, not just pesticides, but fertilizers, herbicides, all farm chemicals. It was more in keeping with his beliefs and the beliefs of his fellow devotees in the ashram, in life's sanctity.
This is the vibrant of life, the vibrations of life. Look there. The birds, I mean, they were probably collecting some insects. If I had sprayed, definitely they wouldn't be there. Yes, demonstrate to my friend.
The birds are back now, and today Manindra Pal oversees what's probably the most successful organic farm in India. The dark soil retains its fertility, unaffected by sterilizing agents and chemical fertilizers. His waters run clean, untouched by chemical pesticides. In their place are natural pesticides like the leaves of the neem tree. And Paul's rice yields have not suffered. They run close to the highest in India. Manindra Pal walks down a path between the vast green waves of rice paddy.
This is now it is about 140 days. Another 5 days we'll harvest. You see? You can come down here and see.
Gloria Land is attracting curious farmers from Japan, Denmark, Holland, and Germany to learn Paul's techniques. Paul has a simple success formula, really. He's converted the farm and retained its high production simply by reusing every ounce of the farm's organic material, decaying leaves, cow urine, and cow manure. Fresh manure goes into the bottom of a pond where methane is produced, which fuels the farm kitchen. The remaining dung is then pumped out to the fields and used as a natural fertilizer.
The thing is, you see, all your waste is gold if you know how to use it.
But not everyone has so much natural waste available. M.S. Swaminathan, the father of the Green Revolution in India, says Paul's work is impressive, but he says much of it is based on having a lot of cows and a lot of acres. Most farms in India are small and couldn't be set up in the manner of Gloria Land's 100 acres.
25% of the world's farming population are in India, 100 million. Now, out of these 100 million farming families, 75 million farming families have land holdings of 5 acres and below. And out of them, a majority have 1 acre and below. Now, if you preach them that you do this, you organic farming, you do and so on, these are all people who can do, very rich people can do it. For the poor people, you can't do away without some mineral fertilizer.
Manindra Pal says there are big obstacles for small farmers to convert to high productivity organic farming. For one thing, he says, producers of chemical fertilizers are trying to discourage successful organic farming because that would cut into their sales. Plus, he says, the Indian government isn't taking the lead in providing education and incentives for farmers to convert. And there are other challenges built into the way Indian farmers live.
Normally, all the farmers of India do not live in the farm. They live in village, cluster, and all his animals live in the homestead area. The farm is 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers away. Therefore, they are not able to recycle all the byproducts and the waste of animals effectively to the farm. They need transport, load facilities. That's why it is difficult. But still, it is possible. But the thing is, one should get down to it. You must have the motivation to do it.
For Manindra Pal, beyond the matter of motivation, there's the matter of faith. And for Pal, that's part of a wider worldview, a sense that everything's connected.
It is not the knowledge from books, but it is the knowledge by identity. If the tree, something is wrong, I should be able to know by identifying myself with the tree. The tree too has a soul. I too have a soul. And this is a knowledge which cannot be proved by the material science.
The spiritual part of Paul's work, like his methods, won't apply to all farmers. But Manindra Paul provides a glimpse in a world starved for real examples of a way of farming and perhaps a way of thinking that may allow for many more generations down the road.
Love is the core of everything. If you don't love your plants, if you don't love your animals, if you don't love your birds, obviously they depart. And where love exists, where the fellow feeling exists, everything survives, everything blossoms. This is the language of the soul.